Do you want me to host that one? Or I don't give a shit. I really don't care about almost anything.
I guess I'll host Pitch Perfect.
Okay.
I guess.
All right.
And then you could do the other two.
All right. So let's do The Craft first, because that's what I've got rolling. I'll host that one. You can do Pitch Perfect, and I'll fall asleep. And then I'll come back strong with the Oscar episode.
Yeah.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. It's all a bunch of hocus pocus. That is our tagline for this week, and that is the face of a man who suddenly realizes what episode we're doing, also known as my magician's assistant, Mr. Dave Becella.
That's me.
That's Mr. Dave, Magic Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies On Up. It's all a bunch of hocus pocus is probably a paraphrased version of our tagline for this week.
Also known as Abracadabra.
Yes. I don't know. The movie was also known as Abracadabra. That was the alternate title of Hocus Pocus, which is where our tagline contest comes from this week. So if you want to have a prize package magically appear at your doorstep, all you need do is send us Hocus Pocus in one of the three following ways. Email moviesonup@gmail.com. Leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your guess directly at us at moviesonup on the Twitter if you are correct in typing Hocus Pocus.
Or we will also accept Ghost Dad.
Or Ted, for that matter. I pretty much just name a movie for this week, and you'll win. That's pretty much how we run a tight ship over here. If you're correct, and if we pick you, then yeah, you get a prize, and that's great.
I'll be witching.
Yes, very good. Which actually brings me to why we're doing Hocus Pocus this week. We're not.
We're not doing Hocus Pocus.
We're not. Actually, we're not. We're doing The Craft this week. Why are we doing The Craft? That seems completely out of left field selection, and in some instances, it is. Which comes out in theaters this week, and it was a trailer that I saw, I believe it was in front of Krampus, and I thought, holy shit, this is a great trailer. I feel like this could be Legion kind of territory, where it has...
There bazookas versus angels?
No, there weren't, but the trailer looked amazing, and I thought, this could go one of two ways. This could either be a really, really good movie, or it could be a stinker. It is the Robert Eggers joint, starring some people that I've never heard of before, but the trailer looked super, super creepy, and it's out in theaters this weekend. So we thought we would try and do some kind of a witch-themed episode. Didn't want to do the Blair Witch. I believe that's been done before
in October.
Yeah, I think you and Mike did that one. Hocus Pocus was bantied about as a possible selection, but we ended up settling on the 1996 Andrew Fleming jam, The Craft, starring Robin Tunney, Fairuza Balk, and Nev Campbell.
Rachel True,
yeah.
If that's her name.
I would be remiss if we didn't mention Rochelle, especially this month. I feel like I'd get in a lot of trouble. Also, Christine Taylor, Skeet Ulrich, Breckenmeyer,
yeah.
It definitely seems like there was a mid-90s cast in this movie. It was released in the mid-90s, May 3rd, 1996, to be precise. It was actually number one its opening weekend. It grossed $6.7 million, beating out The Truth About Cats and Dogs, The Quest, Primal Fear, and The Great White Hype. That rounds out your top five for the week. Yeah, I mean, Primal Fear I kind of like too.
Great White Hype. The Truth About Cats and Dogs, that's Janine Garofalo starring turn.
It is. Yeah. That was the number two movie that week. I think it ended up, who gives a shit. The Craft went on to gross $24.8 million, which puts it in 2,740th place all time on the domestic charts. Dave, can you guess what Robert Redford directed film is just above it? 2,739.
The Shia LaBeouf one.
No.
That's the
only golf
one.
Movie?
The Legend of Bagger Vance?
It's not that. It is Quiz Show. And can you guess the movie directly below it? Comedy, which kind of goes without saying, starring Paul Rudd. The dumb movie.
Idiot Brother?
Yes, it is Our Idiot Brother. That movie just below The Craft on the all-time domestic chart. I have to admit, when I went back and looked at the box office numbers, to me, this was a very forgettable movie. I remembered it in that, oh yeah, that existed. I remembered that Nev Campbell was in it. Forgot everyone else. But it seems like in 96, it was actually a little bit bigger of a deal than I'm giving it credit for. So, apologies.
It hit it the right time because there were a bunch of teen movies Hitting, Can't Hardly Wait, I think was a year or two later. Cruel Intentions was about this time. There was a lot of teenage movies, and some of them were a little edgier. So you throw that with witches in there. And Neve Campbell, she'd have been the biggest star at this point because of Party of Five. I just watched this last night for the first time since seeing it in the theater in 1996. Yeah, pretty forgettable movie. I will always remember Fruza Balk and Robin Tuttle. Like, I can always remember the cast.
Right.
No matter what, like, oh, Fruza Balk, Neve Campbell, Robin Tunney, Rachel True. Like, that's the cast of The Craft. I forgot about Skeet Ulrich and Breckin Meyer.
And for good reason. I mean, they're not exactly what I would call featured in this movie. It is very much a girl power movie. The men, like we said, Breckin Meyer and Skeet Ulrich, are pretty scarce, and they don't really have a lot of depth in their character. But really, the only positive male character was Sarah's dad, who kind of just disappears throughout most of the movie. Kind of comes in at the very end, but is just sort of window dressing. And I'm okay with that. I mean, it is obviously a movie about four girls, but it did seem very much like the female empowerment was very much a theme.
I mean,
in
this
movie
is a Spice Girls time. Like, this is when Spice Girls were huge.
And they were witches, of course.
Yeah. It's a mid-90s. I mean, that's the best way to describe it. It's a mid-90s movie.
I mean, the soundtrack and the fashion, if that's what we're going to call it, do seem very much, very dated at that point. I feel like this is like a concept in a movie that you could update if you wanted to. I'm not sure how much witchcraft is in the zeitgeist now, if it was more so
they
then.
Did the Dude remake of it, essentially. What was that? The Covenant? I'm not looking it up, but I assume Taylor Kitsch was in it. You know what? I am going to look it up.
There is comparisons to another Dude movie that I'll make later. That's a tease, as we say in the business.
Was it called The Covenant? Is that what I'm thinking of?
I don't know. While you're looking that up, we talked about it being a girl power movie, and the girl...
Oh! Taylor Kitsch was in that movie.
All right.
And Sebastian Stan and Steven Strait, whoever that is.
Sebastian Stan, wow. Good for him. We mentioned that the movie does star, obviously, the four girls, and they're kind of central in it. I think it kind of toys with being an ensemble movie, but I don't feel there ever seems to be as much building of the other characters as you might need to actually have it be an ensemble and make all the characters sort of strong on their own instead of just really a couple of them.
Fruza Bulk's really the only one that comes to life in that way, because it's when Skeet Ulrich is explaining him, he's like, oh, that one's a whore.
Yeah.
You never really get that sense from Rachel True's character.
Mm-hmm.
Neve Campbell is this beastly human because she has burns on her back.
Yeah.
She wears shirts. Like, that doesn't make sense. So
some guys have seen him, so.
Yeah, and then Fruza Balk's the weirdo, which the one positive I'll say in the movie, I do like that line. Four teenage girls getting off the bus, and the bus drivers say, watch out for weirdos, and Fruza Balk just says, we are the weirdos. That's a good line.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I mean, I think her character was probably the best developed, the most completely developed out of all four of them, because we spent a lot of time with Sarah, but they kind of like show you glimpses of like, oh yeah, her mom was a witch, but you don't find out a ton about that. That story seems like it was almost sort of just cut to bare bones. You hear a little bit about her psychotic episodes as a youngster and why they were caused.
And she's a cutter,
I guess. Yeah. It seemed like the other two characters, Rochelle and Bonnie, were just kind of, I don't want to say they were afterthoughts because they really weren't, but they were like half cooked.
Yeah.
Essentially.
I mean, Neve Campbell, okay, so the scars get removed from her back and now all of a sudden she's this like sex symbol. She looks exactly the same at school.
She dresses a little like sluttier, I guess.
I don't
she's
get
like
her
showing her guns.
Like, why wasn't it a facial scar or something? Wouldn't that be more impactful?
I mean, you would think so. Unfortunately, I don't have burns on my body, so I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure it hurts the confidence, but is that right. really going to be? I just that didn't
it's something
make
you
sense
think you could hide very, very well. You understand? Okay, I'll buy the burns, and I'll buy, you know, maybe being poor and kind of slutty and weird in that way. But I'm not really sure why Rochelle was friends with them. I mean, I didn't happen to see any other black people in the school, So I don't know if that's what made her sort of an outcast and why, whatever Christine Taylor's character's name was. Laura Lizzie?
I don't even know who Rochelle is. I assume it's Rachel True.
Yeah, it was the black girl. Yeah. I'm not really sure like why she was getting picked on. I mean, Christine Taylor says because she doesn't like Negroids, or I don't know what she says. Something that was obviously racially charged. But, I mean, nobody else seems like they're mean to her. She doesn't have...
Well, like, nobody really talks to any of them.
No, not really.
They're left to do their own thing. People are scared of them.
Yeah, which is witchcraft. We learn that from Skeet. But what we don't ever really learn is why these girls went down the witchcraft to begin with.
Yeah. How did those three come together?
Right.
And then get the prophecy that they needed a fourth.
What is the origin story of this witch coven? I mean, I realize we're getting kind of deep into what is not that deep of a movie. But, if it's about these four girls, I feel like we should know their stories. And I think we know most of a couple and very little of the other two. And that just bothered me. And more Bonnie it never hurts.
I mean, if you ever wonder why we never saw more Firouza Balk, watch this movie. Her and Robin Tunney are asked to carry the movie. And they struggle. There's a scene where Robin Tunney's running down the alley. And she looks like she's acting like somebody... that's a bad actress running. It looks like she's impersonating a bad actress running. It's hard to imagine that anybody would look that bad while acting and running. And Firouza Balk is just...
She doesn't run well either, so...
Oh, she's just...
She has... I will give her credit.
She's really good in American History X.
Sure.
But that's it.
Yeah. I mean, she has, I think, the right look for this part. But it's almost like you can still have that character, but instead of her having her be the lead bad guy, maybe you switch that with like Neve Campbell's character, where she really does become narcissistic and a giant bitch who had been made fun of by so many people. And it's almost like a Carrie situation. It seemed like with her and with Rochelle, when they become bad guys, I guess.
They're just sheep.
Right. They're sheep. And you don't really see any kind of attitude change with them. They don't do anything different, really. Neve Campbell dresses a little nicer. She looks like she's happy, but apparently that makes her vain and a bitch. And the next thing you know, they're showing up to try and kill Sarah.
Yeah. And then the next day, they're like, hey, sorry about that.
Hey, remember when we tried to kill you?
Oops.
Our bad. That whole part, I mean, that's a pretty important turn. We get to see...
There's not an arc with them. There's spikes.
Right, they're just like 90-degree turns.
Then they're here, and then they're here.
Yeah.
And there's no gradual rise and fall.
We do see a little bit of that with Firouza Balk, where she obviously hates the stepdad kind of guy. He's abusive, and he's a real dick. And then she kind of loses control a little bit, kills him. So she's like... tasting the dark side, and then when she gets zapped by lightning on the beach and starts walking on water, like, oh, she's clearly gone full Sith at this point. But there was at least a little bit of an arc there. We didn't see anything with the other two, and it kind of speaks to my point about those characters being sort of half-baked.
It's written in that they're just background players, essentially. In the car, when Robin Tunney's like, hey, maybe we shouldn't be doing this, and Firouza Balk's like, hey, maybe we should. And the other two try to say something, and Firouza Balk's just like, hey, you're just here for scenery, essentially. Like, it's basically written in the script that these two are just kind of there. And that's how they're treated. And it's the oddest kind of... It could be taken as exposition, because in that scene, you realize, like, oh, these two in the back seat don't matter. This is all a front seat movie, and they're just back there because... they fit. Because
they need four quarters.
Yeah, yeah. So
as I was kind of watching it, I thought to myself that this movie sort of did follow a similar track to a pod favorite.
Chronicle.
Yes, exactly.
That's all I could... You know what? I could... The whole time I'm watching this movie, all I think of is Chronicle and Juice.
And The Covenant, the one with Taylor Kitsch.
Taylor Kitsch and Stephen Strait and Chase Crawford. And
Sebastian Stan.
Yeah.
5 points. Movies on up. You had underdeveloped characters, or underutilized at the very least. I mean, I think we can agree Michael B. Jordan was pretty much criminally underused in Chronicle. Your lead, because I think Dane DeHaan was good. Your lead in Chronicle, substandard. I think that's safe to say here. And if you could have switched out and made Neve Campbell maybe a lead and had Michael B. Jordan a lead in Chronicle, both movies would have ended up being better. Sort of the arc that we get with Fruza Balk's character, it seems like it's a version of what Dane DeHaan did, except not as complete.
He's developed.
Right. I mean, you feel bad when you watch his dad be such an asshole and like his mom can't get medicine. So like, that's why he sort of uses his powers for evil at the beginning, is, you know, to steal money so that he can pay to buy his mom's cancer medicine.
Yeah.
And at that point, his character is very sympathetic. And when he goes over the rails, it's kind of sad.
Fruza Balk, it's just like...
Right. When it happens in The Craft, she kills the stepdad, and then they benefit financially. And it's just sort of like, you don't ever really feel bad
because
for her at
that
point.
Cares.
No.
Even shove an old skeet out the window.
Yeah.
Like, there's no remorse in this movie at all. And there's no empathy. There's no... Everything just happens, and then the next day happens.
It seems like they're more focused on like the powers and these girls having the powers instead of what the actual ramifications of that are. Because when we get to like the climax, the final battle, it seems like for really what happened, essentially Fruza Balk kills a couple people. She's a multiple murderer, and she channels unlimited power. And nothing really, I mean, she gets put in the crazy house, but that's about it.
And this is why I hate witch movies. Like this, I haven't seen The Covenant, but I'm going to just assume it does the same thing. What are their powers? When people do stuff with witches, it's just like they could do basically anything they want. And like when they're standing on the beach in the circle, it's like, oh, and the power of Mother Nature, and oh, the power of the wind and animals or whatever. But their powers never, like, they all four just do stuff,
right.
And they don't each have unique powers.
Right.
And you don't even know what those powers
are.
It's
not like Captain Planet, you know, where, like, the fire guy could shoot fire.
Like, give them some sort of uniqueness to where each one has something, and then at the end, Robin Tunney can become invisible, I guess, and then she kicks her, and she flies down the hallway. Like, there's no logic here. It doesn't make sense. It's just anything can happen. Like, they're all little just green lanterns without the ring, because it's just whatever they want to happen just happens.
Yeah.
And
some of the stuff I actually did like the where
green
they were changing
cool.
their hair color. I thought that was cool. Like, that to me, that would be something you would expect a witch to be able to do. Yeah. Some of the other stuff, without even really casting a spell, just sort of, I don't know, like using the force or whatever
they were doing. It's like evil force.
Yeah.
Like Harry Potter's, you know what they're doing. The spells say explicitly what the purpose is. You have a certain spell for each thing. That's how
witchcraft is.
Harry Potter is a better written witch story than The Craft.
I cannot argue with that.
You can book it.
I guess I can't argue with you, because I've not seen or read Harry Potter, and I don't particularly think this was a very well-done movie. Like I said, it makes everything just seem so trivial. And if the ending is that trivial, it makes you think, like, the
like
90 minutes...
Like, nothing mattered along the way.
The 90 minutes I spent watching this, like, what the hell?
Like, okay.
If this girl's just going to move away, and, oh, now she's had some kind of witch awakening...
Like, did her parents die in that plane crash, right?
No.
Okay, so
no, that was a joke.
Okay.
When the Wonder Twins come back the next day, they're like, oh, you know that was just a joke,
at
right?
At that point, I was kind of zoned out. So
yeah, fair enough.
Who really suffers? I mean, like, Fruza Balk ends up...
In the crazy house.
In the crazy house. But she's, like, the main guy.
Right.
Who else suffers any consequences other than Skeet and the stepdad that died?
They end up dead. Christine Taylor loses her hair.
Of the four main characters, what consequences did they suffer?
Well, I suppose they lose their powers, which is, I guess, a consequence of doing bad. Those two.
Because, like, Rachel True and Neve Campbell just go on living their life. Like, they're fine. Robin Tunney just moves away after, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm like not sure. Like, usually high school movies, like, they do, like, seem like the whole school year takes place in about a week's time. This, we just have really no idea how quickly they became friends.
No.
There was no homecoming dance to...
No, there was no games.
Depict
there was
the passing of time.
They just...
There was one football practice.
Yeah.
So literally, it could have been.
It could have been between Monday and Thursday because they didn't go to a football game.
Well, Skeet sure didn't.
No, I don't think this is a very good movie.
I don't think so either. I didn't really look up to see what Andrew Fleming has
done.
That's
what I'm doing right
this
second.
I figured, and that's why I was trying to vamp and to connect these two thoughts together, because I believe he wrote and directed this. I certainly didn't like the writing. It seemed like it was just not quite focused enough. Like, he tried to cut out a lot of things, and it just made everything a little bit light.
He wrote Threesome, the, was that Stephen Baldwin movie? He wrote Dick, that...
Oh, yeah. The Blondes.
Yeah. Nancy Drew, the Emma Roberts joint. And Hamlet 2, the Steve Coogan movie that I liked.
That's interesting.
As a director, he's done a lot more. He directed Threesome, The Craft, Dick, The In-Laws, a bunch of TV. He directed Nancy Drew and Hamlet 2, some Frank Lytton Bash episodes, bunch of TV stuff.
Maybe, like, I guess in fairness to the guy, maybe comedy is sort of his thing.
Yeah.
And it's not
because that's it.
Witchcraft.
Like, that's his TV stuff is Arrested Development, Franklin and Bash, Head Cases, New Girl, Michael J. Fox Show.
Yeah.
Odd Mom Out, Red Oaks, Bad Judge, Difficult People. Like,
more often than not, comedy in there for sure.
Because there weren't jokes in this movie either.
Not really. There were some moments that I think were supposed to be funny, but looking at the guy's IMDb list, you would ration that he has a good sense of humor, but it just didn't really come through in this movie. It seemed like it could have been fun, but even when the witches were doing fun things, I guess, you know, when they were going...
Did they?
I mean, they were, like,
they
having the makeover party.
Yeah.
Like, that, then Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board, like, doing things like that. Not that Chronicle is a witch movie, but does this
there's
movie...
a lot of parallels.
Right.
The floating Rachel True is the Legos or whatever it was, or the spider.
Yeah, and, like, when they went into, the toy store and just started, like, messing around. This movie just makes me really appreciate Chronicle that much more and realize what a masterpiece it actually is.
And I hate Chronicle, but I would watch Chronicle over this movie.
Yeah, I fully agree with you there. After having watched this, I was like, man, maybe we should have done a different witch movie. It's too late now because we were going to be,
like,
recording in a couple
other
days.
Witch movies?
I don't know, but that's what I was about to say. Like, the genre itself,
it's not a lot.
No, I think if we were doing top five witch movies, we'd be in some trouble.
It'd be probably The Craft and The Covenant, and then
Chronicle.
I mean, you got Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
Witches of Eastwick.
Yeah. The Witches, that was one I was thinking of where they turned the little kid into a rat.
Practical Magic.
Yeah, no. Sorry, not making the list.
Is that Nicole Kidman?
It is.
And Harry Connick Jr., maybe? I don't know. Probably Taylor Kitsch. I couldn't name five. I know I'm missing some, but, like, off top of my head, like, I couldn't name, like, five witch movies.
Which I guess would have been the alternate version of this episode where he would have done, like, top five.
I mean, other than the Harry Potters.
Blair Witch.
Yeah, Blair Witch.
First one could have made the list.
Paranormal Activity 3, I guess.
Yeah, sort of.
Or was that 2 or 4? I don't want the one with the witches.
Yeah. Halloween 3?
3.
Season of the Witch?
But there was no witches.
I guess not. No.
It was TV. It was the bad guy.
That's a real witch, man. So I guess the reason for doing this was not necessarily to rewatch The Craft, although I feel like you had fonder memories of it.
I didn't really have memories of it. I remembered seeing it.
Okay, well, that sort of explains why I think you were as keen to do it as you were, but...
In hindsight, not my best idea.
Fair enough. In hindsight, I didn't have a better idea, so that's why we did it. But the movie that sort of spawned what was not maybe your best idea was The Vivitch, The Witch. We had mentioned at the top how the trailer might be pulling a Legion here. I think that there's a lot of cool imagery, and the trailer seemed very, very tense. I don't have the first clue as to what's going on or why, which should bother me, but it doesn't.
I think I'm just so desensitized to horror trailers. Call it the Stranger Syndrome, I guess, where The Strangers is one of the best trailers I've ever seen. The Strangers as a movie is terrible. I enjoyed The Witch trailer, but it's not going to get me amped up because The Witch, The Boy, Oculus. Those trailers all feel kind of the same to me.
The Conjuring. That was a good trailer.
The Occurrence. I don't know.
The Happening?
That, yeah. No, the other one. The other Conjuring that's the same as The Conjuring, but it's not The Conjuring. It's
The Conjuring 2.
Insidious.
Ah, yes.
They're probably not the same movie, but whatever. They're all the same to me. Like,
it does seem like this
one.
Then
you see something, I mean, like, I'm grouping them all together, but you see something like The Witch and, like, okay, Jugface, and the ones like, oh, they take place in the woods. I guess I've just seen so many trailers that I don't
that take get place in the woods that
I don't get amped up yet. You gotta get me.
I feel like this one could be very jump scare heavy, which would certainly let me down. But I still think I'm gonna see it. Like, I'm interested enough to see it. I think we're gonna get very quickly to the point where I'm sort of out of the Oscar movies, which is what we're gonna talk a little bit about next week. I'm gonna give you some of our Oscar picks for whatever that's worth. But it's now kind of in that where you can get some decent horror movies in this February, March range before we start, hopefully, getting into the summer movie season, which seemingly gets here earlier in every year. Yeah. Batman, Superman's kind of right around the corner. And for better or worse, that's
Deadpool.
Yes. Yeah, Deadpool last weekend. Already out, I think, at this point. It's a good time to release a movie like The Witch. I've got time to see it, so I'm interested. And this trailer just, I knew nothing about it. It hit me out of the blue. I'm going to go see it with as low expectations as I can possibly have, and hopefully I'll be pleasantly surprised.
See, I thought we were getting to that point where, like, January, February was going to be, like, prime horror ground.
Yeah. Because it sure isn't October anymore.
It's not October, but Mama came out in, I think, January. Paranormal Activity Latino version came out in January. That one Texas Chainsaw, they were releasing them, not necessarily good, but they were making money.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, we're going to start seeing legit horror movies come out in January, February, and then it just really hasn't.
No, I mean, I think there's usually like one that makes some money and it's okay. That's having a really low bar set for this movie, but you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested in it.
Yeah, maybe,
I'm not rushing out to see it, but I'll see it.
Who knows? Maybe next year when we do our Oscar episode, we're talking about The Witch.
Yeah, we will be.
Yeah, I don't think so.
If we didn't talk The Babadook, we're not going to talk The Witch.
I guess that's a good point. But next week will be our Oscar pick'em, for lack of a better word. I guess we're going to pick. Dave and I, spoiler alert, aren't really excited about the nominations this year. So I haven't talked to him about it yet, so I don't know how contentious the debate is going to be. But
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
When you guys do.
If that's not a tease, I don't know what is. So come back next week for our Oscar episode. We'll get you all the picks you need to look really, really smart at your Oscar party and win your Oscar pool at work. You're welcome. And we'll have that for you next week. But until then,
keep it up. That went way longer than I expected the craft episode to go.